Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets win, take it on the chin, and they won in every statistical category, but they come back with a loss from up at Louisville. But Chad Bishop keeps up with everything Georgia Tech with HAC and HAC.com. He joins us now on the WadeFord.com hotline. Chad, good morning.
Morning, Chad.
Hey, morning, guys. I might actually want to stick around and talk food with you guys instead of that football game yesterday.
Well, you know, what is your go-to? Sam always likes to ask, when you don't have to work, when you're not doing what you're doing, let's say you were getting ready for the game tonight. What's on your grill?
You know, I'll give you a top three. I'm a big barbecue fiend, man. I love my barbecue, really good barbecue. You know, a good southern cooked meal with some fried chicken. I'll throw that in there. And then you can't beat tacos, man, if I can find some good tacos. Those would probably be the top three things I'd be looking for.
All right, let me help him out with. First of all, you get your wings, you go to Publix.
Oh,
you know how I feel about Publix wings. Breaded all, Publix wings across the board. Now, barbecue, that's a little different. And here's what we're going to start doing. What do you think about this, Sam? Because we talked to steak. Right?
Okay.
Steak Shapiro. And, of course, everybody knows steak in Atlanta eats. So instead of pinning him down to one particular spot, I went and talked to him this week about you and I mentioning him and coming up with tailgating food. If you go to Atlanta Eats and their website, and I'm saying this to you too, Chad, and you just click on, because he's got one of those scroll-down menus, a restaurant finder, and you just click on it and go to barbecue, he got about a ton of these barbecue places that he has done videos for Atlanta
okay.
Eats. There you go. And that'll help
okay.
you out. You can go call him up, grab something, and bring it back to the house. So that's
perfect,
my help there.
Perfect.
There you go.
There we go. There
we're
we go.
All helping
go.
Each other.
Well, he needs that because he saw Georgia Tech put up good numbers yesterday, but the numbers that matter came up short.
Yeah.
Explain to us what happened in this game yesterday.
Man, it was really, really odd and really uncharacteristic of the Yellow Jackets. I mean, Brent Key has really prided himself on having a team that is smart and disciplined. And tough and physical, and those things kind of went out the window yesterday. I mean, having a field goal blocked in return for a touchdown, you know, star quarterback Haynes King makes an ill-advised play on a read option that goes for a fumble that's recovered in the end zone. So they spotted Louisville 14 points, and then a ton of third and shorts and fourth and shorts that the offensive line just could not move Louisville off the line of scrimmage to pick up a yard or two to keep drives alive. I mean, they had a fourth and goal at the two that they couldn't punch in. Now that turned out to be fortuitous because it ended up being a safety for Louisville. But just sort of an odd day up there in Louisville to see Georgia Tech sort of struggle with some things you'd expect maybe, you know, out of year one of a coach, right? Or
right.
maybe for a new system or a new team. But they got a lot of guys back from last year and a lot of coaches back from last year. And they seem to have definitely yesterday regressed a little bit. So it was really odd to see and watch that transpire. I think the good news for them, right, is now they have a bye week coming up. They've played five games already, which is crazy. I think it's going to be a chance for them to rest and really hit that reset button and say, all right, things are not working. What can we do to get back on track like we were in 2023?
Chad Bishop joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. My question is, what would you or how would you describe this team post Florida State, post being on the national stage? How did they take that win and do whatever magic comes from that, or as far as moving forward with this team in the program?
Yeah, it's a good question. You have to wonder. I mean, it's human nature for kids to win a big game like that on a national stage, and everybody pats them on the back, and they get ranked in the top 25 not too long after that, and thinking that maybe they have arrived when clearly they have a very, very long way to go. Another thing that I've been bringing up, you know, kind of quite a bit, which Georgia Tech, you know, they're not making excuses and they're not talking about this, but I think it's starting to show that trip all the way out to Dublin and all the way back, and then a couple weeks later having to go all the way up to Syracuse and all the way back, having played five games when most everybody else has only played two or three, I think that's starting to wear them down too. So, again, I think this bye week comes at a great time for them to sort of, again, rest and reset and sort of try to figure out a way to get back to that Florida State game and to get back to that bowl game last year where they dominated UCF, and even back to the Georgia game last year where they played Georgia really close for 3.5, almost 3.75 of a game. The offensive line is just not the same as it was last year despite bringing four or five starters back. They're not moving people. They're not being as dominantly physical as they were last year. The ground game cannot get going. They seem to be overthinking things a little bit. So it's back to the drawing board, to use the cliche, but they have to go back and find out what works for this particular team and how they can be successful.
Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline this morning with Chad Bishop. He is social. You can always find him at Mr. Chad Bishop, at Mr. Chad Bishop, at 3-2, as you said. 5 games into this season, just doing some fact-finding. Was susceptible to the big plays the defense was at times yesterday, too. And that's something else that has to be concerned.
It is, because, you know, this defense was not good in 2023, and that's why they brought in Tyler Santucci, the new defensive coordinator. And, you know, they played well against Florida State, and they played well against Georgia State. But Syracuse really exposed them, and I think that was evident against Louisville as well with the passing game. You know, they shut down. It was interesting to hear them in the post-game press conference talk about, you know, they knew they had to shut down the run against Louisville. Well, they did that, but they didn't shut down the pass. So that doesn't do a whole lot of good if you don't shut down both aspects of the Louisville offense. A lot of big plays, a lot of not getting off the field on third down, which was a big problem in 23 as well. You know, all things considered, they still only let up 17 points if you take away the defensive touchdown and the special teams touchdown. But again, this defense still clearly has a long way to go, and that's tough because the ACC usually is a high-scoring league with a lot of good quarterbacks and a lot of good teams. And they're going to, again, have to figure that out in the bye week as well, because everybody thought this defense would be better than it is. They're not creating a pass rush. They're not getting in the backfield of opponents. The defensive line seems to be stymied day in and day out. Again, they got some things to figure out going into this bye week.
Hey, Chad, when you sit around with your friends or co-workers, how do you talk about the ACC right now, given what's going on with this conference?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of a mess. You know, like, I think there was expectations for this league to be pretty good. Obviously, I think everybody thought Florida State being top 10 to start the year, you know, would not be 1-3 at this point, right? You know, Clemson, I really think Clemson probably will turn out to be a contender for the ACC title race, but they did not look good in that opening week against Georgia. Obviously, you know, Miami looks like world beaters right now, but Miami is prone to do what Miami does and maybe drop a game here to a team they shouldn't. I mean, that's kind of been their recent history. So, you know, someone asked me recently, you know, can the ACC get two teams in the college football playoff? And right now, to me, it looks like the only path for that is a team like, say, Miami to go unbeaten and then maybe lose in the ACC title game, and there's one team getting the auto bid and one team getting the at-large, because, you know, the rest of the league really hasn't held up the end of their bargain. NC State, we thought, might be good. They don't look so good. Virginia Tech was kind of a sleeper pick. They certainly don't look good. I was impressed with Louisville yesterday, but they've only played 3 games, and two of those games were against very, very inferior competition. So it does not appear to be, if you're going to separate those 4 Power 4 leagues, I don't know where you put the ACC right now. Maybe 3rd, maybe 4th out of those 4. They really, really, in my estimate, haven't held up their end of the bargain as being really an elite league so far this season.
Yeah. You know, Duke is next for Georgia Tech, and then North Carolina. My goodness. They look like an Arena League game that broke out yesterday with them and James Madison. And a lot of people are whispering about Mac Brown up at Chapel Hill. Thoughts about that situation, because that's it's one of the prime programs, has been in the conference.
It's crazy, man. You know, obviously, you know, Tech fans know that the new defensive coordinator in Chapel Hill is Jeff Collins, the former Georgia Tech coach. So for him to allow 70 points is a storyline to follow. That James Madison team, they scored 13 a week ago against Gardner-Webb and then dropped 70 on North Carolina. So there's some issues there for sure. And I sort of relate it to Georgia Tech's schedule. We came in this season thinking Georgia Tech's schedule would be, you know, one of the toughest in the country, and maybe it's not. You know, maybe, like I said, NC State might not be that good. North Carolina looks like it has major issues. Duke is 4-0, but they have a new coach, and they play North Carolina this week. Notre Dame, maybe they're not as good as people thought that Georgia Tech has on their schedule. So it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. And you know, Mac Brown, to me, we were talking about this in the press box, sort of has Bobby Bowden vibes at the end of his tenure. Just can't really seem to maybe let go and say it's time to step aside, because I don't know how you justify giving up 70 points to a James Madison team that, again, not the same James Madison team as they were last year, still a quality program, but you can't give up 70 at home really to anybody if you think about it.
Yeah. Wow.
I want to get his thoughts on what we talked about earlier, Chad, and that was the governor signing into law that the NCAA can't come after. This is the first state in the country to say, I'm going to allow our schools to pay these players, and you can't come after them. Georgia's the first. I don't know who's going to be second, but your thoughts on that, does it move the needle in any specific way for you?
No, not necessarily. And the reason why is because this NIL stuff is so it's so out there. Like, nobody really knows, like, what the rules are or who's doing what. And I don't know if it really would change Kirby Smart or Brent Key's mindset, right? Like, I think those guys would continue about their business. I'm sure they're aware of it, right? And they say, oh, that's great. That's good to know. But I don't think it's going to, you know, stop what they've been doing or make them go to an extra mile to do anything different. You know, I think it's definitely good, and it shows that, you know, the Board of Regents is definitely committed to making, you know, Georgia athletes be able to be compensated for what they're doing on the courts and on the fields. But I don't know. I just when we talk about NIL, it's an issue that to me changes every 3 months, changes every 6 months. So it's an interesting step, right? But I don't know how much of an impact, you know, it'll have moving forward in the immediate future anyway, because I just think these coaches across the board will just continue to do what they've been doing. And then if they're told to do something different, they'll pivot. The good ones will anyway. So I don't know how much of an impact it'll have in the immediate future. But again, time will tell to see, you know, how it plays out in the long term future, so to speak.
Yep. We'll be watching for that. Hey, we always enjoy having you join us. Chad, and we appreciate you spending some time with us this
morning. Don't be a stranger.
Yeah.
All right. I got it. Hey, I'm going to go enjoy my bye week. How about that?
There you go. Put something on the grill.
Thanks so much for the time
this morning.
Appreciate
it, buddy.
All right, guys. See ya.